from spending money on electricity, Diana, to, well, making it.
I wish. This week it's all about how we can make a mint of our own.
Hi, it's Dominic from Newmarket. I'm just calling about how money is made and how the different colours are formed.
So let's start with the notes first. How do they survive the wash?
My name is Mark Cricket and I work for the banknote printers De La Rue. OK, essentially it starts, not surprisingly, with the paper itself, which is manufactured from cotton rather than wood, which is used for most of the papers that are used in other applications. The reason that cotton is used is to make the notes more durable against the rigours that they'll face in circulation with the public. And it also, when it's combined with the printing processes, helps to give the banknotes the unique feel, which makes them feel different from other printed documents. The process that we use is a very old process, quite an unusual process that's not used now for commercial paper production, and that enables us really to put in the distinctive tonal watermarks and the metallic strip, which we call a security thread, which runs through the paper and is inserted when the paper is manufactured. What we then do is we take the paper and it runs through really a number of printing processes. The first process, which is known as litho, puts on really most of the colours and provides most of the back of the Bank of England notes and much of the front. The second process, which is a very unique process used in banknote printing, which is called intaglio, which actually uses an engraved plate and ink basically goes into the engraved, if like grooves in the plate, and is then forced out under pressure, and that helps to produce a very distinct tactile feel to the notes, which again is an important security feature for the public to recognise. Some of the elements, for example, that are printed by this process is the portrait of Her Majesty the Queen. And then really the third main process is known as letterpress, and that's used to put the unique serial number on each note, which obviously is used to help keep track of the notes.
But what about the coins?
My name is Matt Bonacorsi and I'm Chief Engraver at the Royal Mint in South Wales. Okay, well, we obviously start off, like any other product, with a design. Once that design's completed, we then have to turn it into a 3D, or what we call 2.5D object, which is the sort of sculpted version that you're going to see on the coin itself. These days, we use a lot of computer CAD sculpting, and if you can imagine, it's a three-dimensional map of the coin on a screen that is 4,000 by 4,000 pixels. So that gives us 16 million points of information within that screen. And each one of those points is a coordinate. And we feed those coordinates into our CNC engraving machine, which is basically like a tiny revolving cutter that will then move over a blank piece of steel following those coordinates. And as it works its way around, it gradually builds up a picture of what the finished coin looks like. But obviously, when we stamp a coin, the stamps that actually impart the design onto the surface of the blank, those stamps, which are called dies, have to be back to front. So we take our steel piece of tooling with our coin design on it, and we press it, we put it under a hydraulic press and squeeze it into a soft piece of steel so we can take a negative impression from that. And it's that negative impression that's then put on a lathe and turned to the right shape and size to fit into one of our presses, and that's what will actually stamp the coin itself. Forgery is obviously a key part of what we do. The metal composition of coins is key to that. The percentages of different alloys that go into coins are very, very closely monitored and very, very closely controlled. So it becomes very difficult to replicate a coin that will read in vending machines or that will look or feel the same as a real coin.
So notes are made from cotton and some very secret inks, some of which are magnetic, others can only be seen in UV light, and some are only visible when they become warm. Coins can also be protected from forgery using clever design tricks, such as a latent feature in the £2 coin, which is a design that changes as you move it in the light. But their main form of defence is in using very specific metal alloys, which are also kept secret, of course. An interesting fact of the day, I didn't know this before, but the Royal Mint actually supplies over 60 countries with their coins.
That's amazing. When they press out a coin, do they call that quantitative squeezing?
Oh.
Sorry, I didn't know that. How much do they charge to actually do that?
Yeah,
then?
Maybe it changes with the exchange rate. I don't know. But now from coin bending to mind bending for next week's question.
My name is Julie Lonnie Chang and I live in Davis, California, and I have a question. My question is there any science to the companies that sells or claim that their subliminal CDs could actually alter your behavior simply by tapping into your unconscious mind?
Do you know how subliminal learning works? If so, then brainwash us all with your answer. Email unconsciously to chris@thenakedscientist.com or write about how you want to give all your money to me at thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Thank you, Diana. And you can catch Question of the Week as a podcast in its own right. Find it on iTunes or on our website. That's at nakedscientist.com/QOTW. That's it for this week. Thank you very much to our guests who took part, Richard Lipton, Niraj Lal, Frank Jeffrey and Mike Kuhn, and also to our production team, Ben Vowsler, Mira Senthilingam and Dave Ansell. Join us next week, on the other hand, for our Naked Scientist Science Phone-In Extravaganza. We'll be answering all of your science questions and bringing you an update from the Cambridge Science Festival. So, if you want to know how many organs you can donate and still remain alive, how many heartbeats you can count on in the average lifespan, or why a dog's eyes glow demonically when you shine a torch at your dog in the dark, send your questions in. It's chris@thenakedscientist.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.